Peter's first letter, clear back by Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 15. This is a passage that we quote many, many times in the aspect of wanting to encourage a witness and a testimony so that we can be effective and do a work that the Lord is going to honor. But I want to, and that's the theme that I'll be using as I share with you from the Word here tonight. But I want to emphasize what this scripture says about being ready. All right? We're still giving. God bless you. Thank you for doing that. That's awesome. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. We'll read together on this passage and then recognize that there's direct instructions that the Lord wants to help us to understand and to apply to our lives in a general sense and then in a specific sense as well. Let's read together 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. All right, thank you for standing. You may be seated. I appreciate your honor to the word of the Lord. But here's the emphasis I want to make. Be ready always. Say that with me. Be ready always. And I know that the Boy Scouts have the motto of be prepared, and there's all of the other armed forces and organizations and different ones and so on that would go with this aspect of being ready, being prepared, and not being caught off guard or unawares. Be ready always. A preparedness, I think, is real important when we consider, in this particular aspect, somebody asking you, why do you have hope? Or why do you smile so much? Or why do you sing those church songs all the time? And all of these aspects that perhaps may be asked of you, why? And the scripture says, be ready. Be ready always. You've got an answer. You've got something you can share. Be ready. Amen. And then sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And that's really where it needs to be, isn't it? It's got to be within your very being. We acknowledge it with our minds. We feel it with our emotions. But it's actually got to reside right here in the center of your being. Now, we don't talk about that pump that's in you that is a miraculous thing that just works and works and works. There's nothing that man has created or has manufactured that would even compare to it. Those of you on the oil field or have been involved in mechanical aspects, you know that the pumps that are involved in oil just don't last that long. You're having to shut them down. You're having to replace them and so on. The pump in your chest is an amazing thing. It's a miracle from God. But we're talking about the you, the total part of you, your mind, your will, your emotions, everything about you. That's what we mean by our hearts. And so the scripture is saying, sanctify or make holy the Lord God in your hearts. And that's where he wants to abide. He's not just here on a Sunday and you leave him here, goodbye God, we'll see you next week. Or I'll be there Thursday, Lord, you can count on me. And then we come and visit him again. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Thank God we do have the opportunity to come together in his house and be able to exalt his name and all of the aspects that are involved here in our service unto the Lord. But I'm thankful he can be in our hearts. Amen. And that's why you got to be ready all the time. As you may encounter somebody on the job, in your school, in the workplace, in the supermarket, in the post office, in the bank, you can encounter them anywhere and be ready to give an answer. Praise God. A teacher at a seminary would always tell his students, be ready. Always be ready. Be ready to pray. Be ready to preach. Be ready to die. That sounds pretty final, doesn't it? For him to add that part. And maybe some of them were so scared when they were called upon to pray or preach, they were about to die. But that's what he would emphasize. Be ready to pray. Be ready to preach. Be ready to die. Now, there's things we enjoy getting ready for. Things we enjoy preparing for. A birthday celebration. We're going to get ready for that. A graduation, whether it's high school or a trade school or a university, whatever, a program or certificate, we are excited about graduation. We're excited about our wedding. We're excited about a newborn. And all of the miraculous things that God does for us, it's incredible to consider how we can prepare with excitement about those things. There are some things we don't get too excited for. Not too excited about surgical procedures. And we get advance appointments, we get advance notice, and on this day I've got to go in and have surgery, or I got to go in for this medical treatment, radiation, or something like that, or maybe on the job or in school. On this day we have a test, or I've got a job evaluation coming up, and this is what's going to take place, and so on. These are necessities. Oftentimes we face them, and oftentimes they're something important that we become ready to do. Remember our goals? In 2014, we had three goals that we put out, and they're very simple: a vision for visitors, go for growth, and steps for spiritual success. We're trying to get to the next level. It's not just to get us back to one particular point, and we check it off and say, all right, we did that. This is good. No, I believe the Lord wants us to move to another level. Not a lower level, a higher level. As we go for growth, we have a vision for visitors, and we take steps for spiritual success. Let's look at them individually again, given the fact that we are... how far along here? 8.5 months into this year? Wow, that's amazing. So we're still holding on to the goals, however. A vision for visitors: bring a visitor to church each month. Bring a visitor to share every 2 months. And we're reaching for that. Go for growth. We're looking at these different things again as well. Witness each week. Teach and exploring God's Word Bible study in this year. And if you haven't had an opportunity to share that yet, make every effort in the remaining 3 months, 3.5 months. I'm going to teach a Bible study, or at least I'm going to get one started. And if it's got to move into the next year, 2015, that's all right. We're going to go for growth. Amen. And then steps. Steps for spiritual success. Continue with bread reading. Continue to utilize Bible reading and riches any day. And even if it doesn't look like you're going to complete the Bible reading through the year, you may surprise yourself at how much you can get done as you grab this the 5 minutes here and 10 minutes there, and you start reading. Even though you may be several months behind, keep going. Get farther than you've gotten in the past. Even if it looks like you're not going to finish all the way through, just keep going. Amen. Fast twice a month. Pray a half hour a day. Come to services early for prayer. And take these steps. Be ready. Praise God. And thank the Lord that we can be involved in these aspects because the Lord wants us to be ready. Now, the ultimate preparedness, the highest priority, is to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Jesus used an analogy of the thief coming to someone's house. And if the homeowner knew when the thief was going to come, when the burglary was going to take place, he would take care of business. He'd be there to make sure nothing was stolen, the thief was apprehended, the authorities are notified, and we've taken care of it. It's not going to happen again. And the Lord emphasized that. And then he said, be ye also ready. Be ready. Just like the homeowner would like to be ready, just like he would be prepared for the coming of the thief, the scripture says the Lord cometh like a thief in the night. In other words, unexpectedly, in a time that you don't think would happen. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. In other words, when we're not even prepared, when we're not even ready, when we're not even expecting it, it can happen. So, make sure you are not caught unawares. Be ready. That's the ultimate. Praise God. And then, the theme of this passage is outreach so that others can be ready for upreach. Praise God. Ready for the blessings that God would bring to them. Again, Jesus told about a king who had a wedding feast prepared for his son. He sent servants out, invite the ones that we want to come. They wouldn't come. He sent his servants a second time. All things are ready, the message was. Come. Everything's prepared. Everything's set. The meal is in place, and your setting is right there. Come on. Come to the feast. And amazingly, Jesus told about those who made light of it. They laughed. They mocked. They didn't think it was important. They recognized that they had other things to do. They went their own way. One went to his farm. Another went to his merchandise. Apparently, he was a store owner, and he wanted to inventory what he had. He wanted to take a look at all of his goods. And others mistreated those servants, even killed them. Wow, that's pretty amazing. But the third time the servants were sent out, three times now, and the message was, the wedding is ready. Come on to the feast. Gather everyone in the highways. Gather the good and the bad. The selection was wide open. In other words, just give the invitation. Praise God. Thank the Lord we responded, and we've been able to enjoy what the Lord prepares for us, because we definitely want to be ready for the invitation that Revelation 19 talks about. The marriage supper of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. The church is ready to step into the presence of the Lord. And the angel advised John to write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. And thank the Lord we have that to look forward to. So the readiness, the preparedness, not to be caught unawares, not to be lax and dozing off and thinking, oh, well, I guess it doesn't matter. No, we need to be ready. I think about Zacharias, the elderly priest who is in the temple. It's his time. It's his turn. They were there by course, and it was his group now that was ministering in the temple, and all of a sudden an angel appeared to him. And he had a conversation with the angel. The angel said, you're going to have a son. Now, for Mario to have a son, beautiful little son, that's a wonderful thing. Amen. But for Mario Aranda to be told he's going to have a son, that's a little bit different, as there's about 40 years difference there in age. and so it'd be, what? my wife and I are going to have a son? That's not possible. But the angel told him, you're going to have a son. His name is going to be John. And because of Zechariah's unbelief, ooh, you got to be careful there. And you're arguing with God. And you're telling him, I don't think that can happen. And all of those kinds of things. Zacharias came out of the temple not able to speak. And for 9 months, he was not able to speak until John was born. And then he was able to speak again. So that old Zacharias, he had a lot of writing to do. He had a lot. His hand was very, very busy as he took pen in hand and described everything that took place. Oh, my. But John had a specific assignment. He had a special role. In Luke 1:17, Zacharias was told by the angel what John was going to do. And just the short part of it there, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Make them ready. And we know that John's focus, John's theme, John's message was one of repentance. That is an important aspect. I think a lot of folks are passing over that now and trying to step right into the blessings of God without having asked the Lord for forgiveness, without having committed themselves to changes that the Lord wants to bring into their lives. They just want to step right off the street, so to speak, right into the presence of God and collect all the benefits and receive everything that God has for them without a change in their lives. That's what repentance is. Repentance is a change. And thank God, a change that came to the individuals that John was reaching out to, John the Baptist, and his powerful message of repentance, a change from sin to right living before God, a change of their life, a change of their mind, a change of their heart, a change of their direction. Now, it's very personal when we consider repentance. When this group here tonight were to repent, it wouldn't be necessary for us to put it on the screen what I'm repenting of. It's very personal. It's me and the Lord. And I've got to make sure I'm covering as much as I know how to ask the Lord to forgive me, to change me, to help me not make those same mistakes again, so that I can step into the realm of His glory and blessing as I would desire to follow after Him. Praise God. Very personal, but very necessary to be able to follow through with what the Lord has for us. Thank God we can step in to that experience. Thank God there was tremendous results that John the Baptist had, even as maybe his technique wasn't real refined. It may have even been rude for him to call people a generation of vipers, you bunch of snakes, and not let up. I mean, just hammer away at how they needed to repent, how they needed to change. And we see the necessity of being able to follow through in that way. So important for where we are, because when the Lord came, He continued that message. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And it wasn't a change. It wasn't it doesn't matter. You know, everybody kind of in the same boat. Everybody makes mistakes. You're okay. You're all right. The Lord didn't do that. No, he told people, go and sin no more. He forgave. He didn't condemn. But He also said, don't do that anymore. Change your lifestyle. Change your direction. Thank God we're able by His power to be able to step into that realm. Now, the Scripture tells us, be ready to give an answer. Now, that doesn't mean you have to know everything. That doesn't mean you're disqualified if you didn't graduate from a Bible college. No. Thank God for these young men who've graduated and young ladies who've graduated from Bible college. The Bartletts from Christian Life College and Peltiers and Seagraves from Indiana Bible College and Conquerors Bible College. clear in the last century. Praise God. But we understand those, and Brother Ensley as well. Praise God. So we have these experiences. That's key. And every one of you has an experience. Whether you can qualify as a theologian or not, you have an experience in the Lord. So be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that is within you. Praise God. It doesn't require a theological degree. It doesn't require a great deal of knowledge. It requires you to be able to tell what your experience has been. And who knows better than you? You know, we sing that chorus, "You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me." That's not arrogance. That's not being braggadocious. That's simply pointing out you have an experience that nobody else has. Oh, we've all repented. We've all been baptized in Jesus' name. We've all received the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. Thank God. That's the common line of the gospel. But each one of us has done that in a different way. Amen. Thank God that we've been able to step into that realm of new birth, born of the water and born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." In other words, he's saying, don't think that that's only for the super spiritual. Don't think that's only for the upper echelon in the spiritual realm. That's everybody. Just as everybody is born to get into this world, everybody's got to be born again to get into the kingdom of God. Amen. So that's no marvel. It's common. The common salvation. Thank God that we can experience that together. But all of us have our own testimony. We have our own story. We have our own experience in the Lord. All based on what the Bible says and how we obey Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God that we're able to tell that. Now, don't be afraid of the questions. Amen. Somebody say, "Can I ask you a question?" And you say, "Sure, just as long as I can say I don't know if I don't know." Amen. I'm not afraid of the questions. Don't want to be afraid of the question. I heard Brother Strickland, the missionary who was here from Greece, point out that how when he was preaching and talking about one God, that there was somebody back in the congregation who put his finger up with "no, no." And Brother Strickland did not feel threatened. He didn't see opposition. He saw opportunity. Because that man was from a region that they've been trying to get into for a long time. And I remember him saying, he looked at that man who was doing "no, no, you know, you're not teaching right," and so on. He said, he looked at that man, he said, "There's the one that we've been looking for to go into that region." Praise God. Don't look at the opposition. Look at the opportunity. Amen. And recognize you can tell somebody about the blessing that the Lord has for you. Now, be different enough. You know, this here's a big thing. Be different enough that people will ask you, "How come you're in church so much? How come you dress different? How come you're smiling, you're singing," so on and so on and so on. Okay? Because that's what the Lord wants you to be, is different. Not different just to be different. I mean, there's crazy, too. That's different. But we're not talking about being crazy. We're talking about being different for the glory of the Lord, because you've sanctified him in your heart. He's made a change in your heart. Amen. And you desire to have the blessing of the Lord in your life. Acts 4 and 13, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Oh, God, help us to have that evidence in our lives, too. Lord, we've been with you. Praise God. And we continue to be with you. And that group of people in Acts 4 prayed after they were persecuted in a terrible way. They prayed for the Lord to work signs and wonders, and they prayed for boldness. And God gave them that answer. They spoke boldly about the resurrection. Amen. In a Christian nation such as the U.S., in America, where we are, and churches everywhere, and people are seemingly are you know, everybody's saved, nobody's a sinner, everybody's doing good, and so on. You still have to be able to tell what the Word of God says, because more and more people know less and less about the Word of God. And so you've got to be able to boldly speak, man, a resurrection. Jesus alive from the dead after 6 hours on the cross and a horrible death and a terrible crucifixion and an awful experience for those disciples to witness. And then the cold, still body, the tomb in the garden, the stone being rolled in place, all the finality of it. And yet he's alive. Praise God. No wonder they were so excited to tell about the resurrection. Amen. Sometimes you have to ask. It's okay to ask, isn't it? You ever seen a miracle? You ever been healed? You know anyone who's been healed of cancer? Yeah, you can do that. You can say that. Praise God. Because it's happened right in front of you. Amen. And so you can ask the question. They don't ask, you ask. Amen. And start telling them about the things of God. Brother Blackshear enjoys asking this question. He's asked people in the airplane, people in the restaurant, a priest he was traveling with one time. And here's his question. Maybe you can explain why the churches don't baptize the way the Bible says. I thought I would try that. I'm on the plane. The guy from Fairbanks is riding. He's going to a family reunion in North Carolina. And I can't remember where we were going. And so I asked him, can you explain to me why the majority of the churches don't baptize the way the Bible says? And he said, you mean in Jesus' name? His relatives that he was going to the family reunion, his grandmother was apostolic. He knew what I was up to. But witness of your experience. Tell about it. Praise God. The young man born blind. Look at chapter 9 of the book of John. There'll be several passages here I'll be looking at, Sister Bartlett. It was his miracle. His miracle. Never had the eyes of one born blind been opened before. It never happened before. Since the world began, someone who was born without sight now suddenly made to see. But this man had it happen to him. Amen. And I'm puzzled why his parents weren't there celebrating with him. Why they weren't there thrilled to death that their young son, who they treasured, whom they loved, could now see. Instead, they were afraid. Maybe they struggled with the question that the disciples originally asked. Lord, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? I'm thankful that Jesus is not so concerned about the cause as he is willing to give the cure. Amen. And thank God. So, here's what the young man did. Verse 11 of John chapter 9. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. See how simple that is? He just told what happened to him. This man named Jesus told me to do this after he did that, and so I did, and I can see. Praise God. Brother Paul Adams gave me a call the other night. And we were just visiting and talking about services in Arizona, services here, and miracles and the power of God and so on. And so we got to talking about that service at camp when AJ started yelling, "I can see." And Paul Adams is standing right next to him. "I can see." After 11 years of not being... Oh, there's one you can testify about. There's a miracle you can talk about. If you were there in that camp meeting service, you saw a miracle. Amen. AJ shot between the eyes in Arizona and a drug deal gone bad. 11 years without sight. And now he's praying in a camp meeting service, a church service. And all of a sudden starts screaming and hollering, "I can see, I can see." Ah, that's what our God can do. Amen. Thank God. And you can tell about it. Amen. Thank the Lord. So he said, "I went and washed. I received sight." Verse 15. Now, notice, and in the setting here, they're arguing with him. Instead of rejoicing, instead of having a great banquet and a reception and everybody shaking his hand and everybody waving their fingers in front of his eyes to make sure, you know, and all of that, they're arguing with him. And they call his parents. "Is this your son? Was he born blind?" But verse 15, the Pharisees also ask him how he received his sight. They're asking a reason of the hope. "He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see." Now, he shortened it up for him. But he's still testifying, isn't he? He's still letting him know what happened. He's not giving any background about Jesus. He's not teaching a study on oneness. He's not doing anything like that. "This is what happened to me." All right, verse 25. Now they're saying, "He's a sinner. Glorify God. We know that this man is a sinner." They're trying to tear down his miracle. And he answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, he's hanging on to it. He's not going to let go of his testimony. He's not going to let anybody talk him out of it." He's standing there looking at him. Never saw a sunrise in his life. Never looked down the street before in his life. Never looked upon these men who were trying to talk him out of his miracle. "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." Praise God. He's sticking right to his testimony. Verse 30. Here they go again. They're just going on and on, just trying to tear down his testimony. "The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes." He's sharing his testimony again. That's what you can do. You can let people know what Jesus has done for you. Amen. Thank God that testimony is strong in what you are able to share with people and say, God can do this kind of stuff. Now, John 9 is a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. But AJ was just in 2007. Praise God. And he's still able to see. Because God did a work in his life. Amen. And so many other things that we see God has done. Now, be ready. Be ready. Here just in the last month or so, I've been in a situation where I needed to pray for some real intense situations, some real big needs. And I didn't have time to go on a fast. I didn't have time to spend an hour in prayer before God to get ready. I had to be ready right then. Walking through Cabela's, and here's Colleen's sister, Colleen that used to attend our church, and her sister that had been here a few times, and she's following after me as I'm walking by the fountain and looking at all the different animals that are there and the taxidermy display. She's saying, "Hello, hello." I finally turned around and realized somebody's trying to get my attention, and here's Adeline and her husband. And we visit for a few minutes, and she's telling me now about her grandson who has cancer, 21 years old, down in Seattle for treatment. and how hard it is, how hard it is. And I said, would you like to pray right now? And they're right in Cabela's, people everywhere, customer service people everywhere. We joined hands and prayed. Praise God. Be ready. Be ready. Here just a few days ago in the bank parking lot, somebody that we know from the dental office, or used to be in the dental office. We haven't seen her in quite a long time. She's in another clinic now. And stops me on the sidewalk going out and begins to explain about a severe need for her sister and a family member, a loved one, and I begin to talk to her a little bit and just assure her of what the Bible says and how the Lord can change and healing the brokenhearted and so on. And said, let's go over and see my wife. And we walked on down and opened the door and visited for a little bit, and said, we'd like to pray right here. So with the door hanging open in the bank parking lot, we join hands and pray. Be ready. Be ready. Praise God. That's what the Scripture is telling us. Now, that's not to lift me up. That's to lift him up. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen as a result of those prayers, but I believe the God that we prayed to, I believe the God that we called upon, that he can do something about that loved one who is struggling. He can do something about that young person with cancer. My God can answer prayer. Hallelujah. Be ready. Hallelujah, because God can do a work. Now, Jesus said, teach. Matthew 28:19. He emphasized teaching. Go ye therefore, he's telling his disciples and all of us, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them, baptizing them in the name. What name? What's the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? Jesus. Yeah. Thank God that we know the power of that name. Teach them. Verse 20, the same emphasis, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And if Jesus says amen, you know it's going to be. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can have the power of his presence in us. So teach. Praise God. Teach. You can teach them. Hold up your little workbook Bible study there if you've got it. No, the little black book that I gave you. Okay, you can teach Exploring God's Word, 12 lessons. You can teach this Into His Marvelous Light. You can teach from John chapter 3, from Acts chapter 2. Teach. Praise God. And if you're not real confident, not real feel like you're competent, you are competent to read from the Word of God and from the chart, you're competent. But if you would like for me to teach with you, I'll do it. I'll if I can fit it into my schedule, I'll be there with you to teach. Amen. Get those Bible studies. Tell somebody. Teach somebody. Amen. Take the time to teach. I like in Acts 18, a man by the name of Apollos is quite an individual. The Bible says in Acts 18 and 24, he was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, instructed in the way of the Lord, fervent in the Spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. He only knew the baptism of John. That's as far as his experience and his knowledge went, but it was powerful. And as we emphasized, John's message was one of get ready. And it was powerful as far as repentance was concerned. And this is what Apollos knew. He knew about John's baptism. He knew about the message of repentance. And he allowed it to impact his life. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. He had all of this going for him, all of these qualifications. Aquila and Priscilla, who are fellow workers with the Apostle Paul, heard him. And after they heard him, they brought him unto them, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. No, then Apollos really could preach. And he could really testify. Because now he knew the power of the name of Jesus. Now he knew the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Because that's what Aquila and Priscilla expounded unto him. Now, they didn't belittle him. They didn't argue with him. They didn't say, John's baptism is nothing. No. They expounded unto him, and they built on what he already knew. Praise God. And that's the privilege we have today, to teach. Just like Jesus said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, teach them to observe all things that I've said. Teach them the word of God. Amen. Be ready. Now, the final point here that I want to share with you is be ready for temptations. Be ready. Have that shield of faith ready to quench all the fiery darts. And he never runs out. My goodness, you'd think he'd give up. You think he would recognize it's no use. The shield of faith will quench all of them. You might as well quit wearing yourself out, throwing those fiery darts. But he doesn't quit because he knows you might let your guard down. You might slip in wielding that shield of faith. And we know, unfortunately, his rate of success. So God help us to be ready, to be prepared, to have the whole armor of God, head to toe, on so that you can resist the devil. He knows he has a short time. He knows that. And so he comes with everything that he can. But thank God, if he's got a short time, that's an encouragement to me, because that lets me know that angel with a big shiny chain and a key to the bottomless pit is getting ready to wrap him up and throw him into that bottomless pit. Yeah, he's got a short time, praise God. And then after that, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful that we can hold on to what the Word of God says. Now, there will be mockers and scoffers. Peter talked about those in the end time. Scoffing, laughing, mocking. Where's the promise of his coming? They'll ask that. Don't be afraid of those questions. Amen. You go ahead and answer. The promise of his coming? Well, the Bible says this. The Bible says that. The Bible lets us know these are the last days. And we recognize these are end times. And the Bible is giving us a lot of evidence of that. Now, they mistakenly say, all things continue as they were since the fathers fell asleep. In other words, preachers have come and gone, talking about the coming of the Lord. And it has not happened yet. But the Bible goes on there in 2 Peter, rather, chapter 3, and says they're willingly ignorant. They choose to ignore what the Word of God says, willingly ignoring it and pushing it aside. But I'm glad the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There it is again. That's something we've got to emphasize. Now, that doesn't mean we do like the cartoon character and carry a sign, repent, and just become a laughingstock. No, you let folks know how good it feels to repent. Amen. Now, not just anybody and everybody, but you be sensitive to the Spirit of God as he leads you. And you pray and ask him to lead you to a hungry heart. You skip a few meals so that you can find somebody who's hungry for the things of God. Amen. And you're desiring the Lord to do that work as you reach out, praise God, and desire to explain the blessings of the Lord. Testify about repentance, just like you testify about baptism in Jesus' name and receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. Emphasize that. And defeat temptation. We talked about defeating deceit this last Sunday. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God that that 1 John 4:4 is a powerful promise for what we know God can do in our experience and how he can bring forth that blessing. You go another chapter, chapter 5, verse 4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Overcomes the world? That's right. That's what the Bible says. Praise God. And thank the Lord, we can experience that and help us to move into the realm that God has for us in readiness for his return for ourselves and readiness to help somebody else get ready. Amen. Now, the devil is the deceiver, and he'll try to make you believe not going to happen. The promise is there, and it will happen eventually, but not going to happen in your lifetime. Not going to happen immediately. Not going to happen before you have time to, and then whatever. Oh, no, I'm going to rebuke that, and I'm not going to fall into that temptation. I want to be ready. Would you stand with me? In Matthew 25, Jesus talked about those who were wise and those who were foolish. Remember that parable? Now, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of thought as to what it all represents, who's the wise, who's the foolish, and so on. Let's just go with the very basics here of what the Lord is trying to say. He's trying to say, be ready. Amen. Whether the oil is the Holy Ghost or whatever it might be. Whatever it is, don't run out of it. Amen. Don't run out like those who were foolish did. Mm-hmm. The cry was made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And it was at midnight. It was very, very late. But he's coming. Praise God. Go you out to meet him. And they that were ready went in. They were ready. Those who were not ready, the foolish, had to go and see if they could get what they were lacking. See if they could replenish their supply. See if they could find what they needed to find. And they found that the door was shut. That's a scary thing, to be on the wrong side of the door when it's shut. Amen. I want to be on the right side. I want to be ready. Praise God. Amen. Ready to go when the Lord comes, and ready to witness to somebody else to say, come on, get ready. Come on, be ready. Praise God. Because the Lord wants that to happen in our lives. Amen. Let's come for prayer. I know we prayed at the beginning of our service, but let's pray specifically now.